Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Two bonus point wins behind us, looking ahead to two massive Heineken Cup quarterfinals this weekend. I am David and to my left, there he is. It's Matt. How are you, bud?
Yeah, good, mate. Going to the match this Saturday, going to the Saracens match, so looking forward to it, just sort of getting geared up for that one.
And Alan, you're going to the Edinburgh game?
I am. Bloody excited. Was it circa 35,000 people?
I've heard 40.
40,000 people.
I think they'll go past 40, yeah.
You know how they're sort of pushing this big line about how it's going to be like the biggest attendance for any Champions Cup game?
Yeah.
What I was looking at the other day is I think they're discounting every game pre the name change.
Are they really?
I like that.
Because
like
there's definitely though. I was looking back, there's definitely a bunch that were like 48,000 at Lansdowne Road for like Munster quarterfinal.
Hey, that's fine, you know.
Look, they said Champions Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
And people assumed that they meant the history.
Yeah, it's not their fault, it's everyone else's
fault. It's that sort of thinking that is made their lawyer the new managing director of Edinburgh.
Exactly.
He's found the loophole and they're exploiting it ruthlessly. Well, thank you very much for joining us again, guys, listening to us on Acast or iTunes or wherever the hell you get your podcast. If you are listening to us on Apple, you can leave us a review. How about this one? 5 stars from the Chief of Dollar. He says, make sitting in the office better, plus fairly informative. Well, they know more than me. Highly amusing, however, which I actually think is a really perfect description of what we try and do.
Yeah, I think so.
Saying knowing more than me just gives a really wide range, though.
Exactly.
That could be... Could be John Barclay, King of Dollar. You never know.
I think it probably is, actually.
Let's just assume it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't work in an office, but he has been laid off for a while, so maybe he's just been, you know...
chilling. Yeah. He's doing exams, so...
Yeah, there you go.
Cool.
And it is a very regal introduction, because we do have a member of royalty joining us on the pod later to help preview Edinburgh's quarterfinal. The sweet prince, Alan, the apple of your eye, Chris Dean, coming onto the pod later on. How you feeling about it?
Hope I don't get stage fright.
Are you nervous?
Mate, I've met some big names. Bill Clinton once. Prince Charles.
You met Bill Clinton?
Mate, the guy who looks like Bill Clinton in the Thistle Street Bar in Edinburgh. That's not Bill Clinton. But he does a very good impression.
But yeah, don't think I've ever been this nervous.
Yeah, so we are going to be speaking to him very shortly, so look forward to that. We'll quickly canter through some news before that, and then we'll get into having a look ahead to the quarterfinals this weekend. So Edinburgh started the week with a bang with hashtag Magic Monday, unveiling 4 new signings and probably the biggest bit of news, re-signing Scotland star Hamish Watson. He was joined by Nick Haining from the Bristol Bears, Mikael Villanse, the hooker from the Kings.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
You always going to get that South African team right. And then a brace of Fijian wingers, Ironi Sow, and Fijian Sevens captain Kaloni Nasoko. What did you make of all that business on Monday?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
To break it down, Hamish Watson, great. Good to get him signing, because he must have been getting offers chucked at him from both England and France.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say the two Fijian players, exciting and interesting, but obviously both not that young and really only ever really delivered on the seventh circuit, never at 15s.
I always feel with Fijians, you're slightly rolling the dice.
Yeah, but it's a calculated risk, isn't it? It's like, if it works, then they could be like, maybe not a Bill Matter, but have a really big impact. Like someone like Aroni Sayo, when you're watching, you're like, you know, if you can do a few of those little highlights in the sevens in the year, particularly when, you know, internationals may be away.
Yeah.
It's kind of worth the gamble.
I agree, but remember, Carlin Isles kind of failed at Ayr.
That's very different. Carlin Isles like, had never played 15s in his life. You'd like to think these guys have played a bit of 15s.
You like to think that. But Carlin Isles like, couldn't really Matt have paid like four games of 15s when he signed.
Yeah, well, that's true. And he's fine.
But look how it turned out. Nick Haining, they made a big point about him being Scottish qualified despite being Australian. I think we'd have to be in a little bit of trouble to be seeing him in a Scotland jersey.
You'd like to think for the back row, we would really have to be in trouble.
Yeah.
For Nick Haining to get a team. Because was he 29?
Yeah, I think so. He's only played like six games for Bristol this season.
I tweeted it out and I was like, young back row. And then I was like, I've definitely got my math wrong here. I still think it's like...
He's just not played that much.
I just think of like 1990. I was like, what a young guy. That's not that long ago.
Yeah, that's
true. I think maybe he's Scottish qualified. It's just a nice bit of PR.
Yeah.
That's the one that I'm a bit miffed by. And I think there's been a bit of criticism about, well, what does this say for young guys and their chances? And I think that's the main one where you sort of think, there must be some good back rows coming through who'd be a bit gutted by that.
But maybe I think if you think about the World Cup, Barkley, Ritchie, Bradbury, Mata, all gone.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And then you maybe need somebody who's got that sort of premiership experience, because then the level below that, Edinburgh, whilst promising, is very green.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And yeah, I don't know how he'll turn out. I think Willems is the same, that I think he's got a bit more pedigree. He played a few games for the Stormers as well before he went to the Kings.
Yeah.
Played a lot of Currie Cup. You know, he's only 28. And you think that Ford's probably going to go.
Yes.
Have a hooker or two. Well, Stuart McInally, maybe Cherry gone in the World Cup.
Well, that's the thing, I guess. Because I feel like Cherry and him and Fenton have both actually stood up pretty well this season.
Yeah.
But it feels like, you know, Ford's obviously off at the end of the season. McInally's going to be both at the World Cup and just in deep with that Scotland squad for most of the year.
Yeah.
And so leaving us, it's probably good to bring in that experienced sort of South African abrasive forward with Cherry and Fenton as a kind of backup to when McInally's away.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with that signing.
Yeah.
Richard Cockerell described him as a player like Stuart McInally.
Oh, really?
I'm sure is what he was aspiring to.
Yeah.
Anyway, when he was growing up.
He's had McInally on his wall his whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
That's who I want to be.
Exactly.
The rumour's still going around of one of the Lions 9 of the scrum half.
Yes.
Which one's that?
No specific Lions 9. Just
Ross Cronje or someone else then.
Which would be
pretty good.
They do need a bit of an upgrade.
A bit of depth.
Yeah, well, I think
an upgrade to the depth.
That Lions 9 probably wouldn't unseat Pergos at the moment, but I think underneath that,
it's Fowles and Kennedy.
Yeah, you've got Shield coming
in
as like the exciting young player, but it'd be good to get another person.
Absolutely. So we will see how that they all bed in next year. The SRU getting headlines for their attempts to invest overseas again this week. It was, I think it was a Scotsman that had it. Scottish Rugby bid for a stake in US pro franchise Old Glory DC. Not huge amounts of detail involved, but they are a new franchise based in Washington, DC that are going to join Major League Rugby in 2020. Any thoughts on that, guys? Not a good way to spend money?
It just feels like when the Super Six is probably, is just starting up and will almost certainly have some sort of financial difficulties. It feels like giving away cash to the Old Glory in DC isn't the best use of sort of capital allocation.
And they're not actually even an established franchise yet. They only joined the league.
It's an ironic name, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. And this this league seems to have come in like several different guises, different investors.
Yes.
It's fallen apart. They like signed Mills Moulaina 6 months into the season. He was like, I haven't been paid a penny yet. Or a cent. So I don't know, unless like it's a tiny, tiny stake. You know, it's a tiny amount for a big stake in the franchise. I just think it seemed a bit mad.
We were saying earlier, is this Dodson's way of buying influence with Donald Trump?
I'd like to think so.
Trump's just going to pile in 3 a.m. He's like, Mark Dodson is the best guy I know.
What a deal.
What a deal. The art of the deal.
I think, mate, well, we'll keep an eye on that. As I said, there wasn't a huge amount of detail, so it may be one of those that we never hear anything on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Ever again.
I mean, hopefully. Well, they briefed the Scotsman. They put it out there. They sort of gauged the temperature. People have done this. This is the worst thing ever.
I think the temperature was essentially, oh, for Christ's sake, can we not get our own house in order?
Yeah.
Or at least give it a go, a proper go with London Scottish?
But seeing as we've not heard anything since, I don't think there's much substance to it.
Yeah.
I hope not, at least.
Go and fly a kite in the Scotsman, see how it goes.
Exactly.
Number 3 on the news agenda, Roy Hutchison carving up down at Northampton at the moment, is on the rugby pod of Jim Hamilton yesterday, seemingly saying that he wants to commit to Scotland. He's been in touch with Tooney outside shot for that wider squad for the World Cup.
100%. If he stays in the Saints squad at the form he's playing, I feel like he's almost going to be guaranteed a place, but in the wider squad anyway.
Yeah, definitely. It looks as if, you know, Northampton obviously won trophy this season. They look like pretty good. Well, it's very tight in the Premiership, but could get into the playoffs as well. I mean, he's playing that level.
Yeah.
Just get himself in the shop window. And, you know, Nick Grigg hasn't quite convinced in the Six Nations. So I think give him a shot. And I was quite surprised, actually, how...
He grew up in England, didn't he?
Yeah, but how passionate he was or seemed about playing for Scotland. You're saying, they're the ones that gave me my shot. The Exiles program is the one that sort of put me through everything.
Yeah, that was really nice to hear.
So that's good to hear. And... yeah, hopefully we can get him capped because it'd be a good option to have.
I don't know who runs like the Scottish Exiles like Twitter page, but they definitely haven't had a shout out for like a decade. Roy Hutchison obviously said something and they were like, look at the value of the Scottish Exiles program. Shout out from Rory Hutchison.
Their first ever like positive mention.
I absolutely love that. So we will hopefully see him in the summer. And then finally on the news... Glasgow have given Chris Fazzaro a 2-year deal. And we will be coming back to that because Chris is going to be joining us later on the pod. 2 guests, both called Chris. What a podcast that is. And that's the news done for this week. So let's get into the meat and drink of the podcast. European quarterfinals this weekend. Edinburgh and Glasgow both involved. Let's start with Edinburgh. And with no further ado, here is our chat that we just had with Christine. Okay, and we are delighted to be joined by Scottish rugby royalty. Alan, contain yourself, the sweet prince, Christine himself. Chris, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm very well. I'm very well. Thanks very much.
No worries. Thanks a lot for joining us. How's the mood in camp with Munster coming to town on Saturday?
Yeah, it's been very good. Obviously, pretty exciting after last weekend as well. You know, We needed that result, and it was a good result to get leading into this week. So it's been banged into us that, you know, it's a massive week for the club, and we all can't wait to get out there.
Absolutely. And obviously, Munster, a team that you will have played a fair bit in the Pro 14 over the last couple of years. Is there anything sort of specifically that you guys are preparing for on Saturday?
They're very similar to us in the way that, you know, they base their game a lot on... their territory. So, you know, Conor Murray's box kicks are a big thing for us. You know, we need to be able to defuse them, especially with their kamikaze wingers that they have that go up for the ball. So that's going to be a big thing for us to win. And, you know, that's 50% of the game, really. If we can defuse that kind of game plan, then I think we'll be in a good spot to close out the game ourselves.
Is there an added edge to it just with the last sort of knockout game you guys played was obviously against Munster last year in the quarterfinals of the Pro 14?
God, don't bring it up. I guess there is. We've not really kind of touched on that I mean, it's been mentioned briefly, but it's more so obviously for us. A lot of us have never played in the Champions Cup before. This is the first year for a lot of us. I mean, there's guys that obviously played many years ago when Edinburgh were last in the quarters and semis, whatever. So for us, it's just a massive occasion, especially, you know, they're expecting a bigger crowd. So we know as players that it's massive. I guess we've maybe not thought about the fact they did beat us last year, but I'm sure that we can do it this year.
And this European run has been a really exciting one. Obviously, as fans, we were down there in Toulon, which is a particular sort of standout performance for the club. But for you, what have been the sort of the big games in Europe that you guys have really enjoyed and excelled in?
I think, to be honest, I think every game has had its moments. And you know, I remember, you know, sitting in the bath last year when the teams or the pools got announced, and we were all a bit like, oh my god, I can't believe the group that we've got, and never really saw ourselves at the time making anything of it. And you know, we've come out this year and we really have, so that's the most exciting thing. And I think, you know, I think the away games obviously have played a big part. That Toulon away was something pretty special. It was certainly a game I'll remember for a while, and you know, there's moments in that game which, you know, it went viral, so it was a pretty epic experience. But they've all been big, and they've all been important to get us where we are for this weekend.
Did you get caught up in the tear gas and the riots in Toulon at all?
Yeah, well, that was pretty special as well. That was an added experience. Cocker is quoted as saying, "It's just the atmosphere. Get used to it." as we're about to walk into the tunnel to like go and get our shirts on, and then after the game, we're told it was tear gas. Because I mean, I was choking before the game. But it was pretty epic. I mean, it didn't obviously affect us too much, but it was interesting to say the least.
And your partnership with Jimmy Johnson in the midfield, that's been something that's really grown throughout the season. What's he like to play with?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, me and Jimmy, yeah, we've really enjoyed it. We obviously know we're not probably the poster boys that I guess you would expect to see in the team, but you know, injuries have led us to playing a lot this year, and it's been good. You know, it's subtle work, but it's pretty honest, good work that we put in together, and it's good fun. And we've played a lot with each other. I remember first going pro and for the sevens, and Jimmy was there in the first squad I was in, so I've known him for a good 6 years now. So it's a good laugh.
And is it okay playing with a Merkestonian? I know that Aki's and Merke is like the longest school rivalry in history, I think.
Well, we don't talk about that. It kind of put a downturn on our relationship, so we try not to mention school rugby anymore. But no, it's good. Like the school rivalry, I still feel that. Maybe Jimmy, he's a bit older than me, so I think he's kind of let go of it all now.
Obviously, when you were at school, you were in the back row. Do you want to just talk us through that sort of transition, sort of early in your career?
So I was back row all the way through school, and then went and played sevens straight out of school. And it was honestly landed on me when I wasn't picked for the Commonwealth Games in 2014, and I went to the Junior World Cup. And bearing in mind, I hardly played a game of 15s for 2 years, and I went there, and for a warm-up game against Ireland, they said, "Oh, we're going to play you at 13. And I was like, "Sorry, what?" So it really was just completely thrown at me. And then I signed at Edinburgh prior to playing. I think I'd maybe played one game for Aki's club. Signed me as a centre, and I was like, "This can't be right." But anyway, went along with it, and it's turned out all right in the end. But it was pretty spontaneous, I have to say.
How do you think it's helped you as a centre with sort of Duncan Hodge over the last sort of 3 or 4 years? I guess, has there been a change with that, with Cockrell coming in at all?
Like Hodge is actually, he's been really good for me, like one-to-one, because like how obviously growing up in the forwards, it's, you know, you're on the same pitch, but it's very different roles. So especially centre, it's pretty difficult defensively. So that was a big thing for me. And Hodge has certainly spent a lot of time with me you know, trying to iron these new things out, and personally, you know, he's really helped me. And Cocker's come in, and I think by then I was kind of getting to grips with it, but Cocker's came in and said, "Do you know what, I see you as a 12 and not a 13, but it's great you can play both." And that's maybe now where I've now probably found my position, my main position at 12, and I'm really enjoying it there. And I guess maybe having the experience at 13 for the first couple of years has probably helped me a little bit in understanding, you know, what the likes of JJ needs or Bennett or whoever, you know, when I'm playing with them. So it has been beneficial, the whole kind of roundabout way to getting a position.
Yeah, and obviously that's culminated in call up to the Scotland squad. Just sort of put some words around that feeling, and are you aiming to sort of push into that World Cup squad coming towards the end of the year?
It was pretty exciting to get the call from Gregor. It was kind of unexpected, really. I hadn't really given it any thought. I guess it might be Alan's petition on Twitter that might have helped me. But, you know, I appreciate that. You just need to push it a little bit further now if you can get a game. It was great, and it was a good experience. You know, obviously I didn't get a game, and I picked up an injury throughout the process, and, you know, those things happen. But, you know, I've got a big end to the season with Edinburgh now, so you never know with the World Cup squad. Obviously, I'd love to be a part of it. But main focus is just, you know, get out there, play well for Edinburgh, and you'll see what happens.
And how much has the nickname The Prince stuck both at Edinburgh and Scotland?
Well, currently it's not stuck anywhere. But I'm trying it at home with my flatmate. He's not treating me like a prince yet. But my two friends that found it, they kind of made me aware of it, and they like enjoy having a laugh about it, and are really excited to hear me on obviously the pod tonight when it goes up. So a shout out to Tom Gray and John DeBreeden. So the sweet prince is talking for you.
Absolutely love that. Just finishing up, something we usually ask everyone that comes on: who's been your worst roommate throughout your time with sort of professional rugby?
Oh wow, my worst roommate. I'm going to go with Murray McCallum.
Why is that?
He's nude far too much of the time. And it's all the nicest sights, if anybody knows him, obviously. So, probably Muzza.
Unbelievable. Well, with that thought in our minds, we'll let you go. Best of luck for the weekend, and hopefully bring home a big Edinburgh win.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks very much. Cheers. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Appreciate that. Cheers. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Alan, how you doing, mate?
What a nice guy.
Oh, absolute legend. I can't believe the Sweet Prince has actually... It's got him. It's reached him.
Yeah, I was really concerned he was going to be like a little bit sad about it, or a bit sour. Like, who are these idiots?
Why are you all so weird?
He probably does think that. But
yeah, but great to hear from him, and good insight from the season, what's to come.
Do you know something I found out today? There is not a Chris Dean highlights tribute on YouTube. How do we look?
That AR rugby guy needs to make one.
Yeah, I know. He's made one for Johnny Gray. It's like a selection of passive tackles and like ruck clear out. I don't understand.
Imagine watching a Johnny Gray highlights reel. That is so bad.
Although, to be fair,
maybe a few years ago it would be quite good.
Yeah,
now it's extremely passive.
There is actually, there was a quite a good Alan Jacobson one, which was set to the music Chunky. Like Chunky by the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah. Speaking of Chunk, he's delivering the match ball on Saturday.
I saw that.
I was like, that is a good thing. But I was like, could it have gone to like a local kid or something like that?
Nah, everyone's going to lose their mind for Chunk.
That's going to bring in an extra 1,000 punters, just knowing that Alan Dick's...
That's the whole press and lodge there.
Yeah.
So talked to Chris there about his prep for the weekend against Munster. What do you guys make of this one? Can Edinburgh do it?
So interesting, bookies have got the -4 going into the game. Which I think I was a little bit surprised about, especially after the win. I know, I appreciate it was pretty much Leinster's second team.
Yeah.
But they were sort of, 7 points down at the start and then came back to win pretty comfortably.
I think they kind of put in a performance that you'd like to replicate against Munster.
It
was founded on forward power and sort of dominance at the scrum in the end.
Yes.
And all the tries were sort of, you know, close in and around the rucks and set piece. I definitely think they can win. I think this is not the sort of Munster side of old. It's still got, like, you know, just such important players like Conor Murray and Omani and Stander, people like that. And I think Joey Carberry
back.
I think he's been training at least. I think particularly the three I mentioned before that, just like really used to winning for Ireland and Munster. And that's my one concern, that Edinburgh haven't been in this position for 7 years. You know, getting into the quarterfinal is such a rarity that Munster might have the mental edge. But I think if you look at the 215s, Edinburgh, you know, on paper should be favourites.
Absolutely. I mean, Munster away, I think if it was at Toman Park, you'd think that's a bit of a foregone conclusion. But
yeah,
I reckon you get 40,000 into Murrayfield, give or take. Like, that will make Murrayfield feel quite full.
Yeah.
The atmosphere will be absolutely banging.
It's a bit annoying. It's like a 12:15 or 12:30 kickoff.
Yeah. It's like, come on, it's not like an Old Firm game.
Yeah, I know.
You don't need to put it on at like 9 a.m. to stop everyone like glassing each other.
I mean, you never know.
But I do think that takes away from the atmosphere. Like, the best games at Scotland are always those kind of slightly later ones. Really, you know, people have time to get a little bit merry.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, then that it goes dark. It just creates just that bit more atmosphere. But I think, you know, going, not really any injuries in that pack.
Yeah.
Which is just huge. You know, I think, I know, pretty settled. You know, your front five basically picks itself.
Mm-hmm.
Nell, Schoeman, McAnally, Gilchrist, Tulis.
Yeah. Easy.
Done.
It's already picked. Then your back row, I mean,
was like literally the hardest back row selection in Europe.
Yeah.
I would say.
But I think if you pick it like, right, I'm picking an out and out six, out and out seven, out and out eight, then you just stick to what was there at the weekend.
Was it Barkley, Watson, Matter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to drop Barkley after man of the match performance.
I mean, dropping Bradbury after the England game when he got...
But you can't drop Matter.
Can't drop Bill, though. And Barkley's probably a better six than Bradbury.
And it's not... like, they're unlikely to not play Barkley if they played him last week, right?
I don't know. The thing is,
Barkley
I actually
looked like
have...
he hadn't been injured at all as well. He was so good.
Yeah, I know. That is such a smooth move, just coming ridiculous. In first game and getting MOM, especially after a long-term injury where you would think like fitness and would just be a massive issue. Yeah. I don't know. I think you might still go for the Watson-Bradbury matter and keep Barkley and maybe and Richie.
But surely... he's not much of a bench player, though, is he?
I was going to say.
You'd rather have Bradbury off the bench.
Yeah.
They're very different players, I
think. Do you think they then use Mata as second row cover and put one of those two of the five
Richie
on the bench?
Richie not playing second row? He's playing second row.
I guess there is enough second row cover within those five back row to cut, so you don't need
to
put
think so.
A set like a second row on the bench.
Yeah.
And I suppose the only other really contentious point is probably the man himself, Chris Dean, Matt Scott coming back, putting in a decent shift at 12. Against Leinster at the weekend, but do you think Corkers will revert to his trusted best centre partnership in Europe?
I think if Matt Scott had sort of a prolonged run of games and shown what he could do, then I think he might get selected. But I think he played well on Saturday, but he was quite limited in what he did. I thought,
I agree with that.
He was running hard lines, and you know it's to be expected when you're sort of finding your way back in. Whereas I think when Dean, regardless of having that combination with Johnson's played this season, like, you know, he can truck it up. He's got good pace. He's got seemingly a pretty good boot at the moment. Like, he's been putting in some nice grubber kicks and that sort of thing. So I just think that those are two guys that have done a really good job in the Champions Cup, in Heineken Cup so far. So I think they'll go with those guys.
A little concern for me. Pascal Gauzer is the ref
for
the game.
He again?
So I think generally Scottish rugby has actually an issue with French refs.
I was going to say, which one of the French refs we don't like?
Yeah, no, because it's like...
It's not Roman Poir.
Was it Roman? So Paul Gasser was Wales game this year and last year.
Oh.
That
dickhead.
Yeah, that guy.
He's annoying.
Which one is he? Let's see his photo.
He's done one of the Saracens Glasgow games as well. And Scotland teams, you know, even generally with like Roman Poir and like Mathieu Renel, like they just seem to struggle. What's wrong with me?
Your pronunciation of French refs is absolutely amazing. You've already called Pascal Gauzer Paul Gauzer as well, which is quite good.
But your Scotland teams do struggle with French refs.
I completely agree.
So it'd be interesting to see how they manage that.
Yeah, I suppose Kinghorn's a bit of a miss as well.
Yeah, it's a big
miss.
I mean, I think it's quite a big drop off to your next fullback.
I mean, who else? You've basically got Dougie Five, Tom Brown, or Hoyland?
Okay. Haaland can play fullback.
So you're looking at Dougie Fife or Tom Brown.
Yeah, you got.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be Dougie Fife.
Doohan and Darcy on the wings. They're nailed on.
Yes.
And then I think that it's gonna have to be Dougie Fife, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
We put in a solid shift at the weekend. I think that's what he can offer. But when you've had the highs
exactly,
of Kinghorn,
what used to,
it is just a drop down in terms of that attacking threat because you know Kinghorn can get it going from 60 metres.
Yeah, exactly.
No. But, and then what, 9, Van der Vaart, Pergos?
Pergos and Van der Vaart, yeah.
You know what, Dean, was it? I do think a lot of this game is just going to be Pergos and Conor Murray.
Yeah.
Especially at the start.
First 10 minutes is going to be real game chess between those two.
You'd like to think that Bill Matter against like Keith Earls is going to be fine.
Yeah.
You would hope so.
Hopefully. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's easy to see it coming, but it's whether you deal with it. And obviously, Glasgow until recently haven't dealt with that monster game plan very well.
No. But I think Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, a different team.
Yeah.
To be fair. But
Edinburgh are probably better equipped to deal with Munster than Glasgow are.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. Like, the media round this week for that match, pretty much everyone's predicting an Edinburgh win.
Yeah.
Apart from Cockerell. Or apart from, he's very much pushing the underdog.
Yeah, yes. Which I think is sensible. But I just slightly worry that there's been a lot, and maybe just because, you know, we look at more Scottish stuff than Irish stuff, but I don't think anyone's really, like, bigging up Munster.
No.
I think they'll be pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
Scottish clubs, Scottish teams just don't do well being favourites.
No.
I feel like Munster are a big team. And then I think about what players they have. And I actually don't really know that. Like, you know, there's like CJ, Conor Murray. But in terms of who is their like starting like front five, Tagburn, I actually can't.
It's pretty good.
Tagburn's pretty good.
Yeah, it's like Dave Kilcoyne.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like
Niall Scannell's still
Niall
there?
Niall Scannell, yeah. I think there's a couple of Rory Scannell's centre. Farrell's centre. Like, yeah, maybe not, but. You know, I think they're well led.
Now you say it, they're actually all right.
I think it's just people like Omani and Stander, such talisman for them. But then I think, you know, we've got a back row that can compete with them in terms of playing ability. I mean, it's just maybe that leadership and sort of game understanding.
That all being said, it is the Scotland front five. You've got the Scotland captain.
And a better back row than the Scotland's back row.
And a better, exactly, and a better back row than Scotland. It's actually a better pack than Scotland's pack.
Yeah.
Probably.
Which is a little bit mad. And you've got McAnally in terms of leadership. John Barkley, assuming he starts at 6, he's been there.
Well, he might be really important for that leadership role as well. Just having that bit. Because Bradbury doesn't seem like that much of a talker. It's going to lead by example. But
yeah, exactly.
You need someone with just a bit more sort of brain than brawn in this sort of match. And hopefully, you know, Barkley and I don't recognize that great with referees.
Yeah.
I think Barkley's quite good.
How does it work?
Pascal Gozari is giving us a bit of a horrid time.
Yeah. How does it work in the Champions Cup? So they've got home quarter, they win that. Does it then go back into a pot or is it a neutral semi?
So my understanding was that it would be whoever wins Saracen Glasgow gets to choose the venue.
Yeah, but not at the Alliance, for example.
Yes, it would have to be
a neutral venue in the home country.
So the potential of Glasgow win, the neutral venue would be Murrayfield.
McDermott Park.
Rugby Park.
Rugby Park. That would be an absolute dream. Fir Park. Any of the parks.
Yeah. any of the parks will do.
Almondvale, just, you know, mix it up a bit. Oh. If you don't want a park.
Almondvale's called, is the Tony Macaroni Stadium now.
Tony Macaroni Stadium, yeah.
Please play it at the Tony Macaroni. I don't think
what is a neutral venue in Scotland for Glasgow, Edinburgh? Because it can't be Murrayfield.
It's probably Rugby Park, I would say.
Rugby Park's in Kilmarnock.
Sorry, what's St Johnston?
McDermott
Park.
That's tiny though. It's not big enough.
Yeah, no, but it's neutral.
Because you can't do it at Ibrox or Celtic Park. That's
just
Glasgow.
Or Hampden.
Can't do it at Hampden.
Ship them up to Pittodrie.
Pittodrie away would be unbelievable.
That'd be a good little trip. Right, so that's it. Semi-final, Pittodrie.
Scotland have played at Pittodrie, haven't they? Did they not lose to, or almost lose to Tonga?
Yes.
Rui Jackson scored like a last minute
penalty. Yeah.
I'll tell you what the take is. St James's Park, Edinburgh v Glasgow.
Oh,
that
would be great.
That would be unbelievable.
That would be absolutely class. In the Gallagher end.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah,
that would be great.
I would absolutely love that. Well, it's good that we've already predicted that Glasgow and Saracens as well, and Edinburgh are going to beat Munster.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to do predictions now or at the end?
Let's do a big pile of predictions at the end.
We didn't say it as well. I got a quiz.
You've got a quiz?
I got a quiz.
Oh, my word.
Well, should we break it up with a little quiz? Do you want to fire in some quiz now?
Sounds good.
So what is the quiz subject then?
So the quiz is previous knockout runs at the Champions Cup or...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Heineken Cup.
Okay.
By
Scottish teams in the 21st century, because I couldn't be bothered going any further back on Wikipedia.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
So I just want you to answer. We're just going to go question, answer, question, answer.
I think that works best, yes.
How many knockout games have Scottish teams played in, and I'm just going to call it the Heineken Cup for the rest of the quiz, just for simplicity.
That's fine, yeah.
How many?
And for our Heineken paymasters as well.
Exactly.
They're very happy with that.
So one thing I was going to do, you see how the Netherlands... were in the top 10 for most tickets.
I did see that,
but
yeah.
Someone was saying it's just like Heineken sponsors just bulk buying like one account. They're just like, we're going to take out so many Japanese businessmen. So how many knockout games have Scottish teams played in the Heineken Cup in the 21st century?
Four.
Dave?
Three.
Four is correct. Yeah. So you got Glasgow 16-17.
Yeah.
And against Saracens. So 16-17 against Saracens. Who scored the only Glasgow try?
16.
At Allianz Park. We were all there together.
Yeah, we were there.
Lee Jones is correct. 11-12.
I remember it was right in front of us as well.
Yeah, it was class.
They played Toulouse in the quarterfinals. Yes. Can you tell me the only Edinburgh try in that game?
White Blair.
Correct. Have a look at the try. It was like Laidlaw bomb on the 22.
Yeah. And then everyone just piles in.
Yeah.
Just Chalk just piles in. Denton's going mental in the background. Yeah. It's so good.
I think I was at that one as well.
If you want to go back to pre-2000, and I think there's only one other match, which is when Edinburgh got to the quarterfinal to lose.
So...
Is that one in your
03-04. Who did Edinburgh play in the quarterfinals of the Heineken Cup?
Toulouse.
That is correct. Interestingly, do you know who scored the only try for Edinburgh in that game?
Marcus Dorolo.
Oh, mate, you're on fire tonight.
What's annoying is I know the answer is you're just getting in faster.
Edinburgh have been doing actually a really good like top 10 moments of their European rugby history.
Yeah,
which this whole quiz might be based on.
There was a great video of Brendan Laney scoring at Meadowbank.
Yeah.
I was hoping that was going to be a question and that kind of
Dorolo's try against Toulouse, I think the game's lost by that point. It's absolutely unbelievable.
So it wasn't. That actually made it quite tight, and then Toulouse went away in like the second half. And just to continue the trend, Edinburgh played Ulster in the semi-finals. Who scored the only try for Edinburgh in that match as well? So there's been four knockout games, and we scored a try in each game. 11-12.
Jim Thompson's
correct. So that's...
I've apparently not been getting as much of the Edinburgh rugby social media feed that I should have been this week.
It's all there.
So that's 5-0 for Hanny, but there's 6 points left. So...
Well, I need the clean sweep's coming, clearly.
What happens if I granny? What have you got to do?
Nothing.
Nah, you got to do something. I made you do something.
The last time Edinburgh played a quarterfinal in the Heineken Cup, 11-12, as we said, against Toulouse, there was five current Edinburgh players in the starting squad. Four started, I think one came off the bench.
Could you repeat that, please? Because I kind of tuned out at the beginning.
Okay. In the in the 11-12 quarterfinal against Toulouse, there was five players in the starting squad who are currently an Edinburgh squad member.
I think you've asked this question before in a previous
quiz. I think I have as well.
but I mean, I can't remember it.
And you know what? After 88 episodes, you kind of run out of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Rambo?
Rambo came off the bench for Talai.
Yeah.
Came on in the back row.
Back row.
Yeah. Was Ford starting at hooker?
Ford starting at hooker.
Tom Brown?
Tom Brown starred at fullback.
Yeah.
Grant Gilchrist was in the Ra.
Grant Gilchrist was in the Ra.
That fifth one.
Started against Leinster.
Matt Scott.
Matt Scott is correct.
Couldn't get Dougie Fife out of my head.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say Dougie Fife.
I know that's wrong, but you know when he gets there.
And for the final point, who is the only other player who was starting in that Toulouse game who plays for a professional Scottish rugby club?
Must be somebody who's gone the other way.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
There's only two.
And old. Lee Jones?
Lee Jones is correct. My man, you're on fire.
That was really good. I got 2 points there, so...
I know, I haven't grounded you.
I got out the gates early by throwing in Rambo, knowing it was correct.
Yeah.
Get on the board.
Come on. So, yeah, there you go.
That was good. I like that quiz.
That was really good, yeah.
Was that the season with the ridiculous comeback against Racing Metro?
Yeah, it was like, did they not win like 42-41?
Yeah.
And they had...
A rich European history.
Exactly.
Racing... London Irish and
Cardiff.
Was it Cardiff?
Maybe. I remember.
Look at that, and you're like, you should definitely get through that group.
Tim Visser, that's when he was like, unbelievable. Still terrible in defence, but an unbelievable finisher.
Like, that's when he's going like 15, 20 tries a season, guaranteed.
Yeah.
He'd always like be top try scorer in the Pro 12.
Yeah.
Right, so Glasgow versus Sarries. Fourth time lucky, I think, for Glasgow at Allianz Park.
Well, not a third time lucky at
Alessandro Del Piero Park.
I was going to say, there you go.
He's a real crowd favourite.
So third time lucky down there, fourth time. They've never beaten them.
Not that I can remember. Actually, on Top of the Moon was doing like a history of Glasgow Saracens games, and he started with like 03 Challenge Cup,
like Firhill or something.
When it was like Firhill and had like Castagnède playing. I'll tell you, going back to the quiz, the one that in 1999 they had a playoff to get into the quarterfinals, and it was Glasgow versus Leicester Tigers, and that's when they lost 90 to like 13.
Oh yeah,
at Welford Road.
Oh my word.
How spicy.
Yeah,
I mean, but this is going to be quite a tasty little matchup. There's definitely a bit of heat between Glasgow and Sarries. Mm. You think back to the last game at Allianz Park with the Maro Itoje celebrating the try that wasn't a try and all the sort of issues that came off the back of that.
Yeah, and do you see Dave Rennie was coming out in the press today saying that...
Yeah, it's been a nice bit back and forth.
Yeah, saying that Saracens are pretty good at trying to distract the referee when they've made a mistake and try and cause a bit of aggro and get... You know, the referee to reverse the penalty.
Yeah.
Just a thing that people say about successful teams. They're like, they always get the rub of the green, those guys.
Yeah. I do think if you compare them to Exeter, they are much more sort of, I don't know what the right word is, but
they're
like
a bit more abrasive.
Abrasive
isn't the right word. It's a bit more gamesmanship, right?
Yes.
But I think, to be fair, after that, the last match that Rennie was referring to, they Glasgow pulled together a video. Like a highlights video of all of these incidents and sent it to the EPCR.
There's been quite a lot made of that.
So I don't think it's, you know, I think there is something to it, at least in their eyes, there is something to it rather than Rennie just sort of trying to rile them up. I think just trying to get in the ref's ear slightly.
There's a great section of an Offside Line article where they were saying Rennie was asked if there was any genuine bad blood between the teams, and Rennie replied, "We're not talking about it," before going on to talk about it.
But Glasgow, it looks like they're going to be bolstered by a returning Stuart Hogg.
Stuart Hogg and Horn look pretty much...
George Horn.
George Horn.
Yeah.
George Horn.
Yeah, there's been lots of photos of George Horn training this week.
Definite. And then yeah. Pete Horn and Seymour seem to be the kind of question marks. And
Gray,
then,
Gray's fit, isn't he?
Yes.
There's some doubts about him.
And then Sammy J coming back off a pretty successful Six Nations.
Yeah.
Returning. So what do you think of their chances going down? It's probably one of the most difficult places to go in European rugby.
I mean, Glasgow, Saracens have lost two games at the Allianz in the European Cup since 2011. Like, and they've gone on to win the tournament quite a few times. So, you know, on paper, they shouldn't really have a chance. But, you know, I think that familiarity will help
yeah.
them. That, and even, you know, at home this season in the group stage, Glasgow really fronted up. And even that away match, the scoreline flattered Saracens in the end, I think that.
Up until
Glasgow gave them a shock.
Up until the last 15 minutes.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Gave them a shock. Yeah. And I think if Glasgow can, you know, there's a few ifs, but if they can sort of get Hogg into the game, like get Ali Price to speed up the game,
mm-hmm.
you know, get the sort of strike runners in and lift up the pace of the game, then I think they're in with the show.
It's interesting. Probably looking at a back row, maybe Gibbons, Ferguson and Ash.
It's not too bad.
Get them coming around the corner. Getting yeah. over the game line,
yeah.
I think that's really going to be the key because yeah. and then because they're up against what probably Billy. I think Michael Rhodes is out.
Yeah, I think he's banned. Jackson Rage.
Yeah, Schalk.
And you just look at like Will Skelton coming on to a really good game against Quins last weekend.
Yeah, he's
like,
so big.
So big.
Like, I mean, that was the big difference the last time was the last 20 minutes. Saracens just rolled on that bench and they were just like, right, here's a bunch of massive internationals.
Yeah.
Deal with that for the last 20 minutes.
The quarterfinal 2 years ago, Glasgow were getting rolled over within about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like they were lucky to stay even close. But there was like a couple of disallowed tries for Ashton.
Glasgow's always have that sort of like, you know, the ability of someone like Hogg or Russell at the time to do something,
yes.
you know, special that would get them a try. But, you know, I think that if Glasgow can sort of put their own spin on things, put their own game out there, then it can cause problems. You know, I still think that Saracens are going to play like their sort of power game, mm-hmm. and that's just, it's hard for like anyone in the world to stop. I mean, they are arguably the best rugby team in the world.
Good thing, probably got full strength front five.
Mm-hmm.
Kebble, Brown, Ferguson.
Love that front row.
Yeah.
There's a really good front row. Kebble is just consistently...
Yeah, this having him this season is just huge for Glasgow.
Having him
who's going to be in second row then?
Gray, so I think
Swinson?
Gray, and then I think... you probably got what then? Harley, Swinson, or Cummings.
I think Swinson's played pretty well since...
I think you bring in Swinson and be like, just be Ryan Wilson.
Yeah.
Slash yourself for like...
Your experience. Your...
Yeah.
You know, he's the most physical out of those second rows, I'd say.
And then you kind of have Harley on the bench, gives you good coverage.
Gives you
and
good coverage.
Harley does bring a bit of, does bring energy.
I think the Harley Gray second row partnership has worked quite well for Glasgow this year at times.
Yeah, I do just think Swinson against that pack.
I think he's up for it. He's used to those sort of.
I think you're probably right.
Those more physical matches.
And then Gibbons, Ferguson, and Ash.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I don't know. I mean, I think. You know, Vizarro is kind of probably that the only real seven that we that they have on offer.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, Gibbons and Ash and Figs are all kind of 6/8.
6/8. Eight out of push, I'd say. Well, Figson's probably an 8, I think, now. But
yeah.
The other two, I think, are 6s.
So it's just whether you really want to, because, you know, Nigel Owens is reffing. Does quite like a contest.
Loves a contest, yeah.
It does, yeah. Whether you play someone like Fazaro and say, you know, you've got to make some steals.
Go and get your head over the ball.
Exactly. Probably should have saved really that 2-year contract to last the Saracens game, though. Fucking earned that.
Yeah. And then back line, Price, Hastings. Who's going to play in the centre then? Horn and Johnson?
If Pete Horn's fit, I think you'd probably go Horn and Johnson. I
mean, not Horn, Johnson and Stain.
Right, roll the dice, McDowell and Stain. Keep the winning team together.
I've liked Stain since he's been in. He's physical.
He's really physical. He's quick as well.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like McDowell. You know, McDowell's probably been what sort of 3 or 4 months. Is now established himself.
I think McDowell's been very good.
Maybe a month. He's been in the Glasgow team. I don't know when he got called up in the sevens.
He's played like 3 games.
It was in the middle of the Six Nations. He got called up in the.
I don't think anyone really saw that coming.
And then literally within like 2 minutes of his first game, he'd made like a 50-meter break.
Yeah. He's like running through the cheese.
Like the new lad, the new lad at school, they're like, but... he's fucking massive.
Let's yeah.
Get, yeah. Let's get him in
yeah,
the next.
Exactly.
But I guess, because I think Kyle Steyn can play wing.
Yeah.
And so the interesting thing would be, at the moment, you've got Seymour, question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nico, Rory Hughes, Nairn.
Nairn.
Steyn. So.
Yeah, it's looking a bit threadbare on the wings, unfortunately.
DTH being out for the rest of the season is an absolute killer.
Such a shame.
When's Lee Jones back?
He seems to always be injured. I don't actually know.
Yeah, but I'm not 100% sure either. But yeah, I kind of think you put Steyn on the wing.
Just even like, I thought, yeah, possibly, even like Seymour, I hope he's fit because he played really well in that last Saracens match.
I think positionally, yes. He was getting like Seymour as well.
Yeah. And then you're probably going to have someone like Rui Jackson on the bench.
Because like Sarri's kicking game, yeah. Steyn, maybe he's not playing an awful lot of wing
we
at that high level.
We love the renaissance on the pod, but did you see Rui Jackson getting handed off at the weekend?
I saw it, yeah.
It was only the cheaters, though. He'll up it for Sarri.
No, I know, but it's just literally that Pam in the chest, just like...
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
Yeah, it was quite bad, wasn't it?
But... I mean, I'm
worried about the centres, though.
Yeah. And just the Saracens team, just like 115, so strong.
Yeah.
But I think Glasgow are going to give it a real crack. And I think it's going to be a really good match, actually. I don't think Glasgow are going to die wondering.
Like, no, Hastings not.
Obviously, Hastings had a good Six Nations. Not really, a bit at 10. But I think that's just giving him his confidence back.
He's millennials, man. He just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
He will look at that and be like, that is just going to be a class day out.
Yeah.
Get another go at getting in Owen Farrell's face.
Yeah.
Who cares?
We did hear that
let's roll the
Kenny Murray was speaking at a Hills Jills function recently,
yeah,
saying that's one of the tactics to piss off Owen Farrell. Which, quite, I mean, right, as long as they're giving away secrets, is it?
Yeah.
You know, he's susceptible.
I reckon Ryan Wilson's going to run the water.
I've never seen Farrell lose it for Saracens, though, to be fair.
They very rarely get their feathers ruffled. That's
well,
the thing.
Yeah, because they're always winning.
Yeah, exactly. And he'll just be like,
I just want to see, from the weekend, I just want to see, like, first 10 minutes, a bit of aggro. I want to see Swinson, like, not like a full punch, but like a kind of like an open palm or something.
Do you want to, like, grab the collar and, like, laugh?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
really
exactly.
Close.
Yeah.
And then I want, like
what Scotland did to Johnny Sexton in the first half against Ireland in the Six Nations. They really got into his face. A couple of sort of half late hits.
Yeah, exactly. Just do that
sure
kind of
that
thing. Piss them off. And then I just want to see, like, I just want to see from that first decent bit of set piece possession, from like a scrum or something, Glasgow just try like a proper strike move, getting hog in the game.
Yeah.
And just having a go.
Yeah.
Think, right. Yeah. We're in for an actual contest here.
Well, I think they've taken an awful lot from the last time they played. They played really expansive, really quick rugby, and they scored lots of really nice tries. Like, Saracens can be opened up when you take them on like that.
Yeah, no, and I think Glasgow the team to do it. It's just, as you say, it's that, like, forward.
Can they get the platform?
And it's the attritional stuff that...
I've got this fear we're going to end up in a moment where we're, like, 4 points down, there's 3 minutes left of the first half, and they just kick to the corner. And we just have that 4 minutes of them trying to mull it over, and Saracens just being too good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The recurring nightmare.
Yeah, which always just seems to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think...
I want Gray to have a big game as well. I want him being dropped that England game to, like, really bring himself.
Surely the team talk for the forwards is, look, the level you guys got yourself to the last time you played, find that again. Find that switch that took you there.
Yeah.
Like, look at Matt Vegas in that game. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Johnny Gray was unbelievable in the home game.
He was. Yeah.
And he was unbelievable when he came off the bench against England.
Well, exactly.
So
keep that.
He has it in him.
Level.
Johnny Gray's back.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You heading down early? Gonna watch the Edinburgh game down at the Allianz?
Yeah, I remember the last time we were there, it was a good little, like, one of the local clubhouses
rugby club
opened
next
up
door
for all
there.
The Scottish fans, so go on to that.
It's on Saracen's Twitter. You can head to the Oasis pre-match to enjoy live music from G La Roche.
All right, I thought you were going to say Oasis. I was like, mate, I'm keen.
I mean, that would be sweet.
G La Roche and a big bag of cans.
A couple of cans of Wolfpack.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, mate, the Wolfpack, that is great. Looking forward to it.
No, it is a class setup, to be fair.
It is class. Yeah. Well, that is our European preview. But as we said at the top, Chris Fazzara signed a two-year deal with Glasgow today. We've been lucky enough to have a chat with him. Delighted to be joined on the line by Chris Fazzara. Chris, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thank you.
And a very warm congratulations, a new two-year contract with Glasgow. Yeah, you must be delighted.
Yeah, over the moon. It's obviously been a good couple of seasons the last couple of years, personally, so no, I'm glad to put pen to paper and spend another couple of years in Glasgow with the family, a great club.
So how long have you been at Glasgow now?
So this is my ninth season. So yeah,
wow, one of the old guys.
Hopefully it'll be 11 if I make it through to the end of this contract. So yeah, a long time.
How's the body? How's the body feeling?
Yeah, good. I've obviously spoken to Renz, the coach, fairly extensively over the last month or so, getting this sorted out. And yeah, I feel probably the best I've felt over the last kind of 3-4 years. I had a couple of dodgy knees a few years ago, but they seem to have come through okay. And yeah, just taking care of myself now that I'm getting older, and yeah, feeling good.
Good stuff. I mean, did you think when you sort of first signed your first contract with Glasgow that you'd still be here 11 years later? And what sort of evolution of the club have you seen over that time period?
Yeah, so actually my first season I didn't play too much at all, really. I think I was on the bench mainly, and actually I remember my mum saying to me at the end of the season, she was like, "Look, Chris, if you want to go back to uni, I wouldn't be ashamed of you. Feel free to do it. You know, you're not playing that much." I said, "I think I'll give it another couple of years, but I'll give it a crack and see how I go." But no, I was obviously glad I stuck at it. But in terms of evolution of the club, obviously when I started playing, we were still at Fir Hill, and the crowds were kind of starting to grow. You know, we were getting 2,500, 3,000 every week. But that first season at Glasgow, we came 11th in the league, so not great. And then, you know, things kind of started to turn around a wee bit after that. Like the next year, that was the 2011 World Cup, so we had a fairly depleted squad, so a lot of young guys just by default got a chance to pull on the jersey, as it were. And you know, those first kind of 5-6 games, we created a bit of momentum. And then when the World Cup guys, international guys came back, we continued that. And that year we made the playoffs. And I think for the next 5 successive seasons, we managed to make the playoffs. And obviously, eventually that culminated with a win in 2015. So yeah, in terms of evolution, that young kind of group led by a lot of older experienced guys, you know, likes of Mal Kellick was there, Bernie Stortoni back in the day, who else, you know, Kevin had to catch it, the Canadian prop, a lot of old guys with a lot of experience kind of helped us, younger guys who were chomping at the bit, and just kind of went from there. We gathered a fair bit of momentum and started getting some good results and ended up at the top end of the league.
What old guards still around? Was Jacko there when you were there, when you started?
Yeah, Jack has been there. He's obviously gone away and come back. DTH, he went away and came back, which again, I think, you know, it's testament to the pool that the club still has on these guys that they go away and they want to come back and, you know, finish off at Glasgow. But I think, unfortunately, I count myself as probably one of the older guys. I'll be 30 this year, and there's not too many guys over 30. I think there's Tim Swinson, obviously, Callum Gibbons, he's just a year older than me as well, he's 31. But there's not many. It's becoming a young man's game, I fear.
And big week, obviously, Saracens again in Europe on Saturday. A bit of rivalry, bit of extra spice between Glasgow and Saracens at the moment, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the last pool game we played at the end of January, that's probably the closest I've got, you know, in terms of feeling how I felt after a test match. You know, the intensity of the game, it was just ridiculous how physical it was. And, you know, obviously, there's been a really good bit of competition and, you know, rivalry with the Calcutta Cup between the Scotland and England boys, and obviously a lot of those guys play in both our squads, so that adds another dimension to it as well. But, you know, they are the top team in England, one of the top teams in Europe. They have been for the last kind of 3, 4, 5 years, so we know it's going to be a massive, massive challenge. But we're confident with the way we're playing at the moment. You know, it was good. A lot of guys who maybe didn't play so much earlier on the season really put their hands up and played well over the Six Nations period, and we put ourselves in a good spot in the league, but that also gave us a bit of momentum going into the Champions Cup. So yeah, we know we're fully aware it's going to be a massive challenge, but I reckon, you know, if we get everything right on the day, I think we can win.
I'd read somewhere that you're physically sick before every game. Is that true?
Yeah, unfortunately, I've been doing it since I played mini rugby, which is a wee bit probably not great for my own size. But yeah, just a nervous reaction to playing there, to throw up. So I still do it now after however many years in the game.
And I guess, you know, obviously, as you said, you've been at the club now for what, sort of 9 years. Did you think when you sort of started that you'd be a one club man, or have you ever had thoughts of sort of trying to move south at all?
Well, obviously I've got a wee bit of Italian heritage. My old man's Italian, so I'm half Italian. And the idea of maybe going to Italy or, you know, the south of France or something. Probably Italy, because I don't. They only like back rows that are about 6'5" and 18 stone in France. but yeah, certainly Italy was always kind of a bit of a romantic idea, I suppose. But you know, the thing is, at Glasgow and the way it's been, and I think the way we are kind of as a squad, we're all ultra competitive, and you know, going to for example, a Zebre and losing every week, I don't think I'd be able to do that. You know, it doesn't really sit that well. I'd like to stay at a club that's, you know, doing well. So being at Glasgow maybe doesn't mean so much to me now, and I've started a family here. You know, I've got a wife and two kids now, and still a lot of my friends are here. Obviously, a lot of them have retired now, but they're still in and around Glasgow. So it's a place I call home. So yeah, I'm really, really pleased that I managed to sign on for another 2 years.
And so obviously, because you came up obviously with Howard Fife, and was that with sort of Pete Horn, Michael Field?
Yeah, Pete Horn, yeah.
Was there any other? Was there not quite a few players that came up at that time?
Yeah, so Stevie Wilson, who joined the National Academy, he was in that till he was 20, and he actually sadly had to retire. God, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago. Now he had got a really bad hip injury, so he doesn't play anymore. But a lot of Pete actually stayed at the How. He played there when he was still at uni, and a lot of the guys who were in our year, you know, they went on to play in the Howe Fife First 15. I think we got promotion 2 or 3 seasons on the trot, and managed to get back up the league. So yeah, there was a really good crop of guys, and again, we're all still really good mates now. So yeah, it's nice to hark back to the old days now and then.
And obviously, you've had a few caps for Scotland, and I think what debut against England at Murrayfield.
Yeah. It was the fun fact about that. I think it was the only time that Scotland have never scored a point at home in the Six Nations. So one to remember.
And obviously, coming from Cooper, you got any stories of nights out at Jordan's?
none that I can recall at this precise moment in time.
No, I have been to Jordan's. Don't remember.
You'll know that you don't want to remember anything that goes on.
Yeah, I know. and so what are you guys sort of expecting from Saracens this weekend?
I guess they do. They kind of, their whole game plan is based around being massively physical. So we know what's coming in that respect. They're a team, they like to get out in front in games and almost get you in a bit of a chokehold. So I imagine they'll be looking to start very fast than they have in the two previous games. And I think that probably the last pool game, it maybe shocked them a wee bit. We went ahead early on, you know, we got a couple of scores and we were very much in the game till the last 10 minutes. But yeah, you know, it's, I don't want to say typical English, because they're probably a bit different to the other English teams. They play a bit more rugby, but they do. They've got a massive pack. So scrum and maul is obviously very important to them. And looking to put us under as much pressure as they can, so try and put kicks in behind and that kind of thing. So yeah, we've got a fair idea of what they're going to do, and you know what we're going to do to combat it. And like I said earlier, I think, you know, hopefully if we stick to our game plan, and obviously we know we're going to have to be at our best, if not, you know, very close to come anywhere near winning the game. But you know, fingers crossed, all being well, we'll manage to do that on Saturday.
And if you pick up a win and Edinburgh pick up a win, could be an all-Scottish semi-final. Here we go.
Yeah, I was speaking to somebody, and if the league results work out as well, we could end up playing them 3 weeks in a row, I'm sure. Semi-final of the Champions Cup playoff, and then, last league game, yeah. And then playoff the league as well. So we'll be sick of the sight of each other. Yeah.
We were trying to work out what a neutral venue for that Edinburgh-Glasgow game would be. The best we could land on was Pittodrie, but I'm not...
Yeah.
That's about as good as we could get, I think.
I was going to say Duffus Park, that'd be all right. Yeah,
I'd love that, that'd be great.
That'd be brilliant, yeah. Well, listen, mate, thanks a lot for giving us a little bit of your time this evening.
No, not at all.
all the best to the lads for the weekend, and hopefully we will be talking about that All Scottish semi.
Perfect. Thanks very much, guys.
Okay, so great to hear it from Chris there. So finishing up, lads, massive weekend for Scottish rugby. Give me those predictions. Alan, fill me with your famous positivity. Go on, boy.
You know what? I'm going to go for Edinburgh win.
Yes, yep. Love it. Talk to me about Glasgow.
Loss.
Obviously.
I'm going to say Lou, I think it'll probably be similar to the Allianz game in the Champions Cup. Close till about 60-65. Saracens scored sort of 2 7-pointers in the last sort of 10 minutes. So make it look not unrespectable, but look at Saracens.
And
Matt?
I think Edinburgh will win. It'll be tight. I think they'll win by 4 or 5. And I think Saracens will win by 12.
I feel like you've got more positive about Edinburgh during this pod.
I just want to predict a win for them. I don't want to predict a loss. I just can't do it.
Sold out BT Purple Bricks Murrayfield is going to be absolutely massive. I think a Edinburgh win by 7. I'm giving them the whole story. 7. I think they're going to be good. I was impressed. Watched it on Friday night. Was doing some tweets, half cut, that some weren't particularly spelt very well. Yeah. And I was impressed that they went 8-0 down to Leinster. And
it was a bad start.
Ground their way back into the game, which I thought was quite impressive. And I think with John Barkley, they have that extra little level of nous in the pack rather than just that sort of raw physicality of like a Bradbury or something like that. Very nice. Glasgow, I think, might get filled in. But I don't want to end on a complete low, but I do think I think
it's going to be a really good match.
I think it'll be
it'll
a
get
great,
softly filled in.
Softly, gently filled in, but filled in nonetheless. 10 to 15 points.
What a horrible image, Alan.
And on that really horrible image,
sorry,
we will say goodbye for another week. Thank you very much for joining us. Follow us on Twitter at @ThistleRugbyPod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. iTunes, Acast, wherever you follow us, get on there, subscribe, and you'll get us every week. And we will speak to you soon. Cheers.
See ya.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.